Hey, Chad, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah.
How about...
No, not again.
Okay, what about...
I just saw that last week.
Okay, oh,
I got it. Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, what did you think of Roxanne, not the song by the Police?
Dang it, that's how I was gonna start. get ahead of me like that, darn you.
It's like we've known each other for a long time.
Roxanne is great, man. Steve Martin. Welcome, everybody, to You Want Me to Watch What? The podcast where Justin and I, very, very good longtime friends, challenge each other to watch movies that slipped under the other's radars. Then we invite you to listen in as we talk about it.
I guess that fits since I did your intro last time effectively. So, so this month we're talking about 1987's Roxanne, a romantic comedy starring Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah. And it is a modern, well, 80s modern retelling of the play Cyrano de Bergerac.
Yep.
So the movie takes place in a very small town in what is presumed to be Washington State. C.D. Bales, the fire chief in this town, is very intelligent, witty, charismatic, and exceedingly athletic, shown by his ability to basically gymnastic himself up to roofs of houses.
And sword fight at least two people with a tennis racket.
Yes. He also has an abnormally large nose. Now, I don't mean like you see somebody in there, they've got a wide nose. I mean, it sticks out about 3 inches at least.
Not Mel Brooks, right? A very famous nose.
Yeah.
No, this is... This is Pinocchio after his third lie.
Yes. Yes. It tapers down from the forehead and becomes just this long point.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a source of aggravation for him. Most of the people in the town don't talk about it because CD's a good guy. He helps him out. He's the fire chief.
Mm-hmm. And he's really sensitive about it and violent
when. Yes. And so the first, you know, he's walking down the street. This is during the opening credits. He's walking down the street going to meet his friend Dixie, played by Shelley Duvall. And he comes across a couple of coked out yuppies. And they make fun of his nose. He tries to bluff him off by, you know, pretending to know karate. They call his bluff by actually knowing karate. And then he proceeds to kick their butts with actual karate and a tennis racket.
And a tennis racket.
The whole time counting score. And by the time it's, 40 love?
Yep. Yeah.
he wins. Also during this time, that happens. And then we meet Roxanne. She does not have a red light to put on, but she does have a cat. She does have a cat that she is trying to get back into her house. Grover, by the way. Grover is a naughty cat, doesn't want to come in. She steps out to get the cat. Door closes on her bathrobe and is locked. Of course, she's wearing nothing under the bathrobe because it's a bathrobe. And there's no other open doors or windows in there. So she has to careen through the bushes and the trees. And she gets to the fire station. She runs up, knocks on the door, runs back in. CD is there, and he opens it, and she says from the bushes what her problem is, and he goes, athletics himself up in, drops a blanket, lets her in the house, and they have a nice chat. She makes one small mention of his nose. Whatever. He's in a good mood. Next we meet Chris. Chris is the fire station's new, like, no-joke fireman. Everybody else on the team are all volunteers. They're not very good volunteers.
They are a little bit less than professional about it.
Yes. And so Chris's job is to help whip them into shape, should there actually be a fire in this town. Because apparently there just never has been. Over the course of the next few scenes, Chris and Roxanne meet eyes, and we find out that Chris is very, very, very shy and intimidated by women, so much so that he will run away and puke at the mere thought of talking to a beautiful woman. CB and Roxanne start to build up a friendly relationship, and Roxanne and Chris start keep meeting, you know, and making eyes at each other. And eventually Roxanne asks CD to have Chris talk to her.
She doesn't understand why he keeps not talking to her.
Yes. And so CD, being the nice guy, does. Chris tells him what the issue is. Well, write her a letter. A letter? Yeah. So Chris starts to write this letter, which basically is,
I like hey, you, do you like me?
Yeah.
Check yes or no.
Yeah. Hey, Roxanne, it's Chris. Do you want to get a drink? Check yes. And CD's like, we can do better than this.
Yeah.
And so CD is also a very, like I said, he's a very intelligent and witty person and starts asking Chris questions like, well, what did you think when you first saw her? Well, I felt horny. Okay, you can't say that. So, and turns it into, and turns that into a very romantic phrase. And by the end, CD is just writing the letter for Chris because he is actually attracted to Roxanne.
Mm-hmm.
Mails the letter. It has an effect. And thus begins kind of a very weird love triangle romantic relationship where CD is telling Chris what to say to woo Roxanne, and Roxanne loves what she's hearing, but all the words are coming from CD, but Chris is getting to reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
This goes way out of proportion when Roxanne leaves for about a week and wants Chris to write to her. She tells CD this because Chris is out, and CD does, like, three times a day.
7 days.
7 days. Well, almost. She comes back early. 6 days. But neglects to tell Chris.
Well, why would you?
Yeah. So things kind of fall apart when Roxanne comes back. Chris, in the meantime, actually last minute falls for one of Roxanne's friends, Sandy, who he can talk to.
Somehow.
No problem. Somehow. She's the only one he's been able to really talk to without any coaching or any interference and not feeling sick. They hit it off and they go off to Vegas. Because, Vegas. He's going to be a dealer. She's going to be a bartender because they like young bartenders. Then they'll move to Reno where they like older bartenders.
It's true. I mean.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, too.
Yeah. Also, during this time, Dixie, a mutual friend of CD's and Roxanne's, find out what CD has been doing. There's a problem, and he leaves one of the letters he was writing. She gives it to Roxanne with a note on the back saying, CD wrote this. About the same time that Chris shoves a letter under the door saying, hey, I'm breaking up and moving to Vegas. Bye. She questions CD about this. He comes clean. They have a fight. And he leaves. Then he smells a fire. He's always wondered what his nose's purpose is. Why do I have such a big nose? And and it's explained that he can't just have it surgically altered because he's allergic to anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
So he smells a fire. And so he gets the team together and they follow him in the fire truck. And they, you know, the day is saved. They put out the fire. Everyone's big damn heroes. And he goes home. And as he's sitting on his roof, just kind of rethinking the events of the past, you know, 2 hours, whatever, Roxanne shows up and says, I fell in love with the words. Yes, he was cute, and yes, that was the original attraction, but I fell in love with the words, and you said the words, and I love your words, and I love your nose, and I love you. And the movie ends with them kissing and then going into the house. The end.
The end. It's nice to have a happy ending to Cyrano de Bergerac.
It is, because the play does not have a happy ending.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Nor did probably the Michael Gordon movie, you know, that which is, it was one of the most famous versions of the movie written done in like 1950.
Mm.
He dies at the end of that one too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do.
Well, cuz in the play he gets like hit in the head by a log, and in the movie he gets run over by a carriage.
Nah. Yeah.
They're both ambushes, but
yeah. So, by today's standards, there are some issues with this movie.
As we expect from any movie made in the 80s.
Yes. The issue is the relationship issues between CD and Roxanne and Chris.
Uh-huh.
You know, basically, it's played up for laughs, and it's played up as kind of innocent, but there's fraud involved.
The way we're given a pass is that it is a straight up, it is a straight up version of a very old play.
Yes, yes, it is.
Where it's like, and we're going to take this 1890s thing and we're just going to fast forward it 100 years.
Yes. So don't do this at home, kids. Don't.
Oh, I mean, heavens.
It's one thing to be a wingman. It's another thing.
Yeah. Support your friends.
Support your friends, but don't pretend to be them in order to get them elsewhere with.
Well, it's really about having proper boundaries.
Yes. Yes. Chris does not have proper boundaries and is a sleazeball. CD doesn't realize he's crossing boundaries. And should, and Roxanne should have, even early on, she's like, that doesn't sound like you're, because at one point, CD is talking to Roxanne, pretending to be Chris, because Chris is too scared to talk. She's like, your voice sounds different. That should have been a red flag. Even Roxanne, who is played up as an astrologist.
Astronomer.
Astronomer, yes, sorry.
Astrologist is the other thing.
Yes, that's the other thing. Astronomer.
They make that joke a lot, though.
Yes, they do. They do. She's played up as a very smart woman studying to get her PhD. She should have noticed the red flags. All three of them kind of have faults here.
It helps the movie.
It does. What I like about the movie are the comedic elements involving the firemen and their ineptitude and how CD handles his nose. Particularly when attention is drawn to it unfavorably.
The 20 nose speech.
Yes. Which, at one point that.
By the way, I want to say the 20 nose speech is from the play. All right.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's not 20. They miscount because I counted. I went back and rewatched it because I was trying to figure out why it was so long. It's 25.
Ah, that's awesome. So there's a scene in the bar where some drunk yokel comes up and says, I hear you're tough. And he makes a quip and goes on. And all this idiot can say is big nose, which sets CD off. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to let this. You let this wonderful opportunity slip by you. That's the best you can do. Oh, you can do better? Yeah. Throw this dart at the dartboard. Whatever number it lands on, I can do. 20.
Best 2 out of 3.
Okay. Best 2 out of 3. Again, 20. And so apparently, 25.
Dart champion, Denver, 1987.
Yeah. And so he goes on, CD goes on and makes one after another after another, in various veins of insults about his nose.
Uh-huh. Academic, dirty, pornographic.
Yeah.
Friendly. Philosophical.
Fickle, yeah. You know, some of them consisting of, you must love the little birdies enough to give them this to perch on.
Which is right out of the play.
Yes, it is. paranoid. Keep that guy away from my cocaine.
Not in the play.
Not in the play, yeah.
So go ahead.
So those moments where it's Steve Martin being Steve Martin and the inept fire brigade trying to learn how to be firemen, all those are very funny moments interspersed with this kind of really relationship.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on it?
This is a well-told, tightly constructed story. There are not too many scenes or moments in it that don't belong. And I think that has a lot to do with how long Steve Martin spent writing it.
Yes, he was the screenwriter on this.
Because he talked about how, because I looked up some of the stuff on this, is that he started working on this in the early 1980s because he wanted one where Cyrano would get the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote 25 drafts of this story over 3 years. And it shows in what comes through. Everything connects to everything else. Every character actor that you see has more than one scene. It's going to connect from one to the next. Everybody's pretty much, everybody's got some kind of arc or some kind of thing that connects them around. It really pushes the small town nature of what's going, because it's that kind of small town where everybody knows everybody, you know, except for the chucklehead at the bar, apparently.
Yeah.
I like that part. I liked Chris. I thought that, and I don't remember who plays him. I don't know that he's been in much that I've seen.
Rick Rossovich.
Yeah. So Rick Rossovich, he does an excellent job at being kind of this friendly, capable fireman, but kind of a dunderhead socially. You know? Mm-hmm. And it seems that the only reason that he and Sandy really work, the bartender, is because she wants to go to all these places that he's already been. And so he's in this position of power. I don't think it's so much that he gets tongue-tied around women as much as he gets tongue-tied around women who are smarter than he is.
There you go.
Because that's really where he seems to have the trouble, is whenever there is a strong, independent kind of female with a bit of brains, and I realize that comes out sounding very derogatory, it is how the characters are played. When, you know, Sandy is played as being not necessarily an airhead, but she's played as very innocent and or naive. And so he comes off as worldly to her.
Mm-hmm.
There's no challenge. There's no requests for him to have an original thought.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so he does a really good job with that character. Making that kind of guy likable is not a small feat.
Yeah.
I loved the absolute ridiculousness of CD the first time when he's trying to help her get the cat, you know, get into the house because the cat, and he brings the toolbox and he opens it up and just the only thing in the toolbox is a MasterCard.
Yep.
And when it doesn't work, he says, oh, this house doesn't accept MasterCard. I'll have to go any other way. And then, you know, parkours himself up to the third floor to get in and let her in. It's wonderful.
Yes.
It is silly. And mm-hmm. I like the silliness of it. Fred Willard will always amuse me. He was the guy who played the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, I would rather be mayor for you people than for a good city.
I would rather be with you than the finest people in the world.
Yeah. Just, huh. Right.
And special guest star Damon Wayans makes an appearance.
Damon Wayans shows up.
He's one of the firefighters.
Yeah, I was going to mention that next. I'm just like, you know, that had to have been early in his career, too.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So, this is one of those movies. It is, if you're in the right mood, you know, and the right mood here is pretty broad. You know, this mm-hmm. isn't like you have to be in the right mood because it's a downer or because you got to look past a whole bunch of troublesome, you know, political things or whatnot. This is, you got to be in the mood for a silly romantic comedy. One that is not taking itself overly seriously. And one that as you get through it, the darkest parts of the movie are played as much for laughs as anything. When CD goes into the cosmetic surgeons, he's like, just do it. Take it off. Take the whole thing. You know you can't have the anesthesia. And he's like, that's why we'll do it the old-fashioned way. And he holds up a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
You know, it's a dark moment, you know, that shifts into something that's kind of lighthearted. He knows who he is. He doesn't like this one aspect about himself. And yet he doesn't actually want to hurt himself either.
Yeah.
You know, he has taken that one thing and he's transformed it into this intelligence and this wit and this charisma and this kind of a wicked sense of humor. You know, when he leans mm-hmm. over to the other old ladies at the table, is like, ladies, have you heard about men with big noses?
Oh, you mean how it relates to the size of their...
He turns back. He's like, I love doing that to them. So, this is a see it. Straight up. Why wouldn't you go and see this movie? It's not going to take a huge amount of your day. You know, it's a little less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
It is Steve Martin in his 1980s, you know, silliness. And I mean, Daryl Hannah, she is perfect for that role in time. Would have liked to have seen a little bit more Shelley Duvall. I would have liked more of her character in there. Dixie, the, mm-hmm. was it the goddaughter or something?
Yeah. The
god sister.
She becomes she's friends of CD and Roxanne.
Uh-huh. But, you know, that isn't even a criticism. It's just I like Shelley Duvall. I think she's good in most everything that she's in, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when it comes to Roxanne, I'm a see it. It's reasonably intelligent. It's witty. It's quick. It's got a bit of the Keystone Cop slapstick kind of going on, especially with the volunteer firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scene of rescuing the cat out of the tree, I think may remain one of my favorite scenes in film. Like, I'm putting it in my 100 top comedic moments in film.
Yes.
Which, by the way, someday you and I should really sit down and come up with a 100 top comedic moments in film.
All right.
I know it's been done a couple of different times. I think we should make our own.
Yeah. Just because
when we get into like the top 15, it's going to get interesting.
Harder and harder and harder.
Oh, heck yeah. Nobody steps on a church in my town. So. So, yeah.
All right. Well, see it from you. See it from me, obviously. I enjoyed it. Just go in knowing it's got some, you know, romantic... don't do as they do. But all right, it's your turn, I think.
I'm going to come up with some ideas.
All right.